Hello, and welcome to the GameSlave Podcast, episode 138. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And it's been another busy week of not playing enough games.
Aren't you house stuff? Aren't you kitchen sink?
Yeah.
Teach us to be adults.
Well, teach us to be thrifty adults who don't want to call in a plumber.
We can do it ourselves! Hey, we got really good at switching out the sink faucet. I say that's pretty good.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know. It makes me feel like a mechanic being under there going, like, working above my head. But.
Well, the thing that's annoying about working in a sink is that for some reason they haven't figured out how to make sinks just one big door. They're always two doors, and you're trying to fit in between that little piece of wood there.
And ours is uneven. One door side's actually wider than the other.
See, mine's the same width, which is just wide enough for me to fit in, but just skinny enough for me to be really uncomfortable while under there.
I fit better, and I don't mind being under there doing it. I mean, I can.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, that's not Carrie Bear's sort of scene.
It's not my sort of scene either, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta do it.
But despite all that, we did all manage to find more time to play Guild Wars 2. It's an easy game just to, you know, pick up for a little while and then put it back down and go back to whatever the heck you were doing before.
Yeah, it really is.
I love being able to gather on either of my characters and then use the materials with the other character as necessary. Which means, you know, so I finally get both my thief's weaponsmithing and leatherworking both up above 75. So I'm into the next tier of stuff that I need. You know, so I need like iron ore, I need the thicker leather, and then the different fine items, the blue quality.
So, like, crafting small totems and small fangs instead of tiny
totems and tiny fangs. And
okay.
And so that means, but to do that, I was basically running around in the first two zones just killing anything that would crates. Give me a chance at giving a fine crafting item.
We killed lots and lots of crates.
Yeah, and lots scales. Of spiders. And
centaurs.
Yeah, basically anything really almost anything has a chance that something's just
Seem to have a better chance.
I don't know.
There's... Well, certain things seem to drop things. Like, spiders are more prone to drop tiny venom sacs than something else, like totems or something.
Well, yeah.
Totems, I find totems usually on trolls.
Yeah, well, a lot. Usually, often they'll be in, like, the bags.
Yeah.
The little
but I have gotten bags of thingies. Of trolls. Yeah. Scales off of anything that's fishy.
Or reptilian.
What else we got? Vials of weak blood.
Claws and fangs off of various critters with claws and or fangs.
And same with vials of weak blood.
Yeah. But to finish my story, so I'm running around in those zones just trying to get those things. Because I have everything else I need. I have all the basic supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just needing the fine stuff. And so what I end up with is, you know, I'm still grabbing any nodes that I come across. I'm grabbing minerals and I'm grabbing trees, and I'm picking up leather from things. And so now I'm left with a bit of a, you know, surplus of supply of just the regular stuff that I can use on my other character to have him do things. So it's very convenient in that respect.
Cool.
It's just very annoying trying to get all of the fine crafting supplies. I need to see if someone has made something relatively equivalent to Wowhead for Guild Wars, wherein there is a percent drop. They basically figured out what the percent drop chances on different items.
So you know critters. Who it is the best time to... I can't talk today, and I can't even formulate a proper sentence.
I think you're trying to say who it is best to kill for certain items. Yeah.
I'm losing it. But yeah, I've been playing it on and off, mostly on Friday and Saturday, because that's just the most time I have to play games. The rest of the week it's like, I'm home, I've cooked dinner, and I feel old because it's only 8 o'clock and I think it's late.
Part of that is winter. It's because it gets dark so early. Your body's like, it's dark. It's time to go to sleep now. Thus, humans are like parrots.
I do so much better. Yeah, like in the summer, I can get up a lot easier because the sun is up before 7 o'clock, which wakes me up better. Because right now, I'm just like, man, I want to get out of bed. It's getting better. The days are getting longer. Hooray. You start running again outside.
Yeah. I'm just so used to waking up in the dark anyways, even in summer, so.
Yeah, I had that for a long time.
I guess it's not... in midsummer, I'm not going to be in the. I'm not going to be waking up in the dark. It'll be light before I leave. I think because daylight savings makes it weird too.
I was on 9-hour days for so long. I would get to work at 7 a.m. and I would leave at 4:45 p.m. Ooh. And this started in mid-November and ran until the week. Until the week after Christmas. So literally, I got to work right at sunup, and I left work right at sundown.
That's how my days go sometimes, and I'm not, you know, it's different. I'm not on shift, you know, I'm at work until I'm done with what needs to get done.
But yeah, so, anywho, this is completely off topic of what we were talking about earlier, except for the fact that the topic that we don't have any time to do anything.
Yeah...
I did decide, and I don't know if I would call this a New Year's resolution, but, like, last year I made a resolution to write more for the Game Slave, and actually I did write more for the Game Slave. So this year I'm trying to at least play one new game a week in order to talk about, or write about, or something like that. This week that game was the Dead Space 3 demo. It's really easy to play a game when it only is about 20 minutes long.
And free.
To start off with, I feel sorry for Isaac still. Poor guy is a freaking engineer, and he ends up in all these freaking combat situations. So yeah, this time we were on a spaceship, and it crashed onto a ice planet, it seems like. Or either that, or you're in the middle of winter on this planet. Regardless, it sucks to be where you are. And once again, the planet is teeming with necromorphs. For those of you who don't remember from the first two games, necromorphs are creatures that basically inhabit the bodies of the dead and turn them into mindless killing machines in order to make more dead in order to procreate their species.
Hooray!
So yeah, and they seem to be created by this thing called the Marker, which there are apparently now a number of them throughout the galaxy instead of just the one from the first game, because this one specific... religion called Unitology is positive that it will bring about the continuation of mankind by allowing them to be reborn, which I guess it's not true because they are reborn as the necromorphs. And Isaac basically has the key to stop them, or at least that's what I'm guessing based on the demo. So they all want to kill him. So he has to fight the Unitologists who are trying to stop him, of course, which are in every single branch of the government and populace. And he has to... and then he also has to deal with the Necromorphs who are trying to kill him. And they did decide to keep on with the pattern of shoot the limbs, it is more effective than shooting the body. So, hence I'm getting this game on PC like I did Dead Space 2, because it is easier to finally aim on a PC, I still say, with a mouse and keyboard than it is a controller. Mm-hmm. And you can do it faster. They did change some of the weapon crafting. Now, instead of going to a specific machine in order to access, like, your inventory, well, you still go to a machine, but you go to just a workbench. You can access your inventory from there where you store your weapons and such, and you can also create new weapons based on what you're picking up instead of just buying the blueprint. Sometimes you do still need to find blueprints to build it, but you find what more weapon parts through the world. So I noticed. And I haven't done this yet, so I'm going to have to con somebody, Irish Pride, into doing this with me. They do have a co-op mode now where Isaac actually gets backup from a sergeant. The poor guy who's been fighting for you the past two games actually gets military backup.
Hooray!
I did send an email to EA asking them some questions about the co-op one, and I was like, so did you co-op just because you felt Isaac had it bad enough as it is already, and he finally deserves some military backup in all this?
It might just be to allow people to play together. Since that's, I mean... There are some games you want to just play by yourself, but... I think overwhelmingly people anymore want to play games together. I think that's, you know.
Well, they're finding is like there's people like us that still like the single player missions, but more and more they're finding that those people want to share the experience. So hence we're doing the co-op single player. Mm-hmm. If that's not an oxymoron I haven't heard before, I don't know what one is then.
Co-op campaign, I think would be the better phrasing.
And apparently conversations change if you're in the co-op mode, so that's another thing why I have to test that with him. So I'm looking forward to trying that. I am getting that. I did actually pre-order the game, and I'll be getting it, as I said, on PC. So, yeah. That will have mean I will have played all three Dead Space games, but I haven't finished one yet. Well, the first one, I rented the game, so I returned it before I finished it. And the second one, my computer died on me before I finished it.
Oh. You had to start all over, right?
Yeah, so I never did. So, yeah. Let's see, what else did I do? I watched High School D&D, or High School DxD, I guess is actually how it's spelled. Okay, I'm just going to get this out in front and then continue talking about the story and such of the show. It is used as a vehicle to display boobs. The creators of it are maybe sexually frustrated or something, but yeah. So now that we're past that, they did announce a second season, which is a good thing because, and if you want spoilers, skip ahead a couple minutes. Throughout the last few episodes, they keep foreshadowing the main character having to fight his friend who gave him the ability, the white dragon or something like that. But you never actually see this throughout the entire first season. The first season first is about him, the main character, becoming a demon, discovering his power, and killing the fallen angel that turned him into a demon. Having two potential loves of his life, one which he protects and the other which is his master, and then them doing this overly elaborate battle game because all your characters in this are based off of chess pieces. So like he's the pawn, the master's the king, then there's a queen, bishop, knight, rook. They did a battle, failed, she had to go marry this one guy, but fortunately, her brother is Lucifer, so he gets to change the rules whenever he wants. So she let the pawn, which is our main character, fight the guy at the end of the show in order to save her again, which through, I guess, technically cheating because he was a demon who used holy artifacts in order to defeat the bad guy. One. Long story short, it ended up being a pretty good... The action scenes were pretty good, and I enjoyed them. The character wasn't absurdly powerful the entire time. I mean, he had his moments where he got ridiculously strong, but he barely got beat up. It's not like he just walked away from it all the time. I think this would have been a much more universal show if it weren't for the overwhelming bust of it.
Pun intended.
Yeah. But yeah, they are doing a second season. I might actually watch it because I'm curious about the foreshadowing they did in the first season to see where it goes from there. And yes, but overall, I'd say a C. It's an average show.
With lots of fan service.
Yes. Lots and lots of it. Hell, even in the intro they have it.
That's how you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess I might as well mention this. I don't think I talked about Denver Comic Con at all recently. So, yeah, they have George Takei.
Oh, my.
And George Perez. Which, of course, I've written, like, two articles on this. And then they send me the press stuff. It's like, we need you to write this. Like, you need to, in order to get press stuff, they actually want you promoting it. Gee, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh. But they're like, don't write everything ahead. Don't write everything already in order to get your press. So, like... I did an article in November and an article a few weeks already, so... whenever they send out press releases, I write about it because it's something local that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so George Perez, for those of you who don't know, he's a big comic book writer himself. He's worked for both DC and Marvel, and he's created properties such as Teen Titans, or he's worked and created on properties such as Teen Titans. He's worked on Wonder Woman, Justice League of America... He said Crisis on Infinite Earths, and he's also a board member of the Hero Initiative, which is a group of people who help provide for comic artists when they need like medical help and help them get back into a paying gig after they've been unable to work. So they're kind of like the superheroes for the people that write about superheroes. It's kind of how I've talked about it. And then if you guys don't know who George Takei is, shame on you.
That's all. One of the best Twitter feeds.
It's a great Twitter feed. His Facebook page is great. And he has a book called Oh My, which is basically about his rise in the social media sphere. It's available on all three e-reader formats. iDevices, Nook, and
Kindle.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's what I have to talk about. You guys got anything else you want to add?
Let's see. We finished season 2 of BBC Sherlock, which is great and very weird at the end.
Yeah. I'm like, third season! There must be a third! I hope there's a third.
Yeah, it's inspiring me to want to go back. I have, like, part one of the complete Sherlock Holmes. I don't, you know, it's like, it's two thick books for the complete Sherlock Holmes. I need to go back and start just reading through them again. Which is, the fun thing about the collection is that it has, the stories were all just serialized. They were, you know, almost all short stories, some a little bit longer into, like, the novella kind of territory. But they're basically published in magazines and newspaper kind of journal things and such back in the day. But the way that I have them collected, I get to just read them, you know, in the order in which they were published, essentially. And so I get to, you know, see the characters as they go through and they're in changing, you know, Watson. Finally, at some point, I know he meets a woman and gets married and is not the eternal bachelor living with Holmes. He moves out on Holmes. He and his wife go and get a new place. And it's just Holmes and, what's his landlady?
Hudson.
Hudson. And yeah, Mrs. Hudson at 21 Baker Street. But yeah, it is fun how they've taken inspiration from the old Sherlock Holmes works and just reworked them into a more modern telling. But still keeping very true to what was those plots, because they're still very applicable. It's just, you know, some changes in technology that have come about between now and then.
Cool.
Yeah, and the other thing we finished watching Kids on the Slope.
Mm-hmm. And one anime that doesn't have a horribly disappointing ending, actually. Things are, you're not like tied up perfectly, I guess, but they are, there's a conclusion.
Satisfactory conclusion, but there's still an opening for stuff. Not necessarily another series, but at least the characters have closure.
Yeah.
So basically, if they wanted to, they could do another season?
No, I don't.
No, it would just, it's one of those poignant things.
It's the leaving it open enough for you to think about it. And, you know, like, have, like, kind of your thoughts, like, oh, I wonder what happens afterwards. But it's kind of like the story is really over. The characters go on, you know, but you know that they go on, they live some life afterwards. But the story that they were telling is done.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I don't have much else.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there for the day then. Go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com, where you can find our Twitter feed, Facebook page, links to our store, any articles we write, and so on and so forth. You can send us any comments, questions, rants, whatever, to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, you all have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.